Hello, everyone, and welcome to TTT, 10-Minute Torah Tamima. I'm your host, Chaim Fruchter. Every week, I bring you some insights from Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein, who lived in the late 19th and early 20th century, and author of the work that he called Torah Tamima, which could be translated as Complete Torah. He called it that because he collected Gemaras about the Pesukim in the Torah and placed them alongside the Pesukim so one could get an appreciation of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, while learning the Torah Shebiksav, the written. This week, Parsha Sazria, we begin with Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, 12:3. The beginning of the Parsha talks about a woman who just gave birth and said that there is a period of Tumah, which we will translate as ritual impurity, of 7 days for a male child. Our pasuk then says, "Uvayom hashmini yimol besar or laso," and on the 8th day, you should perform a bris, a circumcision, on the baby. On this, the Torah Tamima brings the Gemara from Shabbos, Taf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, 132a. The Gemara says, quoting the pasuk, "Uvayom hashmini yimol," on the 8th day you should circumcise, "by yom afilu b'Shabbos." Gemara learns out that on the 8th day you should do it, even if it's Shabbos. So, as is well known, the bris can be performed on Shabbos if that's the 8th day, even though what's being done at the bris involves procedures which would otherwise not be allowed on Shabbos. On this, Torah Tamim in his comments first explains how the Gemara arrives at this conclusion based on the wording of the pasuk. The key here is the word uvayom, on the day, meaning, of course, on the 8th day. He says that it would have been sufficient for the pasuk to have stated on the 8th without the word day. And, as is typical for the Torah Tamima, he brings proof texts from other places in Tanakh where the word day, where a day is indicated only by a number without actually saying the word day. Consequently, the extra word day here indicates that the bris should occur on that day, even if the 8th day is Shabbos. He then addresses the possibility that the extra word yom, day, here is to exclude performing a bris at night, and again brings proofs from other places in Tanakh where the word yom excludes doing whatever is being referred to at night. But he points out that doing a bris at night is in fact something that should not be done, but it is learned from a different pasuk, in Parshas Lech Lecha, where it says, Uven shmonas yamim, a child of 8 days of age. He then lets us know that the permission to violate Shabbos prohibitions to perform a bris on Shabbos only applies to the bris itself, not the preparatory stuff like carrying the knife on Shabbos. Continuing in the same subject, the Torah Tamima brings the Gemara from Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, Amud Aleph, 135a. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi said, Kol she'imo tamea leida nimo l'shmona. Any child whose birth renders his mother ritually impure gets a bris, a circumcision, at 8 days. V'chol she'enimo tamea leida, enimo l'shmona. And any woman, any mother, whose birth process does not result in ritual impurity, that baby does not get, or not necessarily get, a bris at 8 days. Shenemar, as it says here, Yishak yisazriya v'yalda zachar v'tama, uvayom hashmini yimol besar olaso. If a woman bears seed and gives birth to a male, she should be impure for 7 days, and on the 8th day shall the flesh be circumcised in a bris. So, what's happening here is that the two issues are connected. The tuma, or ritual impurity, of the 7 days, immediately followed by the statement that on the 8th day, the bris should happen. So the Gemara is learning that only a woman who actually gets ritually impure for 7 days will then follow with the bris on the 8th. On this, the Torah Tamim explains that what the Gemara means by a woman who is not rendered ritually impure by the birth is, for example, a cesarean delivery or a non-Jewish woman who converted to Judaism after a child was born. So those women would not necessarily have circumcisions for their sons on the 8th day. And obviously, says the Torah Tamima, we wouldn't allow Shabbos violation in order to give them a bris on the eighth day if it fell on Shabbos. He finally points out that this idea of Ravasi, that the sons of those women would not have a bris on the eighth day, is challenged in the Gemara, and the Rosh Paskins, that we do in fact give them a bris on the eighth day, but wouldn't violate Shabbos for it if it occurred on the eighth day. Finally, we go to Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, 13:18. The Torah there is discussing different types of skin afflictions categorized under the general condition of tzaras. The pasuk here says, "Uvasar ki yevo v'rosh shechin v'nirpa," and flesh that has in it shechin, which the rabbis say indicates some kind of inflammation, and is healed v'nirpa. Of course, we are familiar with the word shechin since it is one of the 10 plagues in Mitzrayim, boils. On this, the Torah Tmima brings the Gemara from Sota, Daf Hei Amud Aleph 5a. The Gemara there is dealing with a number of statements relating to the important trait of humility and avoiding too much pride. Gemara there says, Omar Chizkia says, Ein tefilaso shel adam nishmas ela im kein meisim libo kavasar. A person's prayer is not heard unless he makes his heart like flesh. As it says in the book of Isaiah, Yeshaya, Vayami dechodesh bechodsho, Yavochol basar lishtachavos. And it was when from month to month all flesh came to serve Hashem. And the Gemara continues, Amar Abizera, basar kasiv be nirpa, adam lo kasiv be vinirpa. Here, in this section about Shechin, where it refers to the person afflicted as basar, it states there was healing, whereas with other varieties of tzaras afflictions in the Parsha, where the one afflicted is referred to as Adam, a person, the word vinirpa, healing, is not used. Now, obviously, healing will occur in all cases, but the Gemara and the Torah Tmima here are dealing with the fact that the Torah explicitly states here vinirpa, and it is healed. So on this, the Torah Tmima mentions the comment of Rashi, that the person whose prayer is accepted is one whose heart is soft and pliable like flesh, and not like a rock, which is hard. That's what Rashi says. Torah Tmima then points out that the person whose heart is hard would be better compared to earth than a rock, as indicated by the similarity and the fact that they are related, of the word Adam here and Adama, dirt or earth. The lesson is obviously the same. He then spells out the meaning of the Gemara's drasha, that one who has a pliable heart will see what happened to him or her with this tzaras affliction and take it to heart, that's my pun, not his, to become a better person. He then points out that all of the above is just a drash, a lesson that's to be learned from the use of the word basar to indicate the person here where it's talking about shechin, and the other, the word adam. He says the actual pshat, or direct or simple meaning here, is that the word basar is used by shechin instead of the word adam, is that Shechin can occur on humans and animals. Remember that the plague of Shechin in Mitzrayim was on the animals also, whereas the other forms of tzaras are only on humans. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and found it meaningful. I look forward to getting together with you on the next episode of TTT, 10-Minute Torah Tmima.